He's an introvert, interviewing strangers from the internet, knocking down the walls of his comfort zone, one conversation at a time. This is the Gary Cantrell Podcast.
The Gary Cantrell Podcast, July the 22nd, 2020. How's it going, everybody? Welcome back. Glad that you are here. So glad that you're here. Today on the podcast, we're going to be talking to Logan. Before we get to Logan, very quickly, I want to tell you about my Patreon podcast producers. Follow them on Instagram, if you will. They are amazing people. Caitlin, at Caitlin Elise, put three Y's in her name. And Amanda, at Mutz, underscore, and underscore, Miles. Patreon.com/Gary Cantrell is the place to go. If you want to sign up, check out some of the perks that we have. 5 days exclusive access to this podcast. You listen on Friday. Everybody else is listening to this on Wednesday, like you're listening to right now. So go check it out. You can get there 5 days early. You also get an exclusive 25% discount off all merch at the Hard Work Always Wins merch store, and so much more. Patreon.com/Gary Cantrell is the place to go. All right. Let's talk to Logan here. Let's get him on. I'm really excited. Logan and I have been connected for quite a while now, and he's just got an amazing story. He is, when we talk about hard work always wins, this is the guy right here. He is absolutely living that to a T. This guy is crushing it. You got to check out his story at WizDreamer on Instagram. I know we're going to plug that in the show, but WizDreamer on Instagram, follow him right now. Stop what you're doing. Follow him right now. And then listen to this great podcast, because I think you guys are going to really enjoy it. So let's go ahead and let's hear from Logan right here on the Gary Cantrell Podcast. Logan, can you hear me, buddy?
Hey, I can hear you.
There he is. Can you hear me? I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if my video is going to work or not. not really sure what I'm doing.
It's all good. If it ends up not cutting on, I'll just put a static photo. You give me one of your best shots and I'll put you right up there on the screen, and we'll make it look nice. No problem.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I'm just using my phone, so I don't know why it's not registering any sort of picture.
No worries at all, man. You know, I just started using Zoom for the podcast. This is my third, maybe fourth one, and every single one there's been at least one hiccup. Now, maybe Zoom is been getting hit a lot, you know, since the COVID started a few months back and everybody started jumping on the Zoom bandwagon. It's been kind of wild, man. How you been dealing with all this stuff?
Oh, I've been good. I was kind of a shut-in for a really long time because I was so big. So I hated being confined, but I've already been there. So I already knew how to deal with it. And also though, with the habits I built up, it really wasn't a problem for me to keep going. I mean, I had DDP yoga to fall back on, and that's an excellent program to do by yourself. And it's helped me maintain strength, and my diet's just, always been on point too. I mean, I didn't resort to emotional eating or anything like that. I stayed on track. So not a whole lot of difference for me, other than I couldn't go to the gym and work.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. The DDP yoga is something that I've definitely experimented with myself. And I can tell you, just like you said, for anybody listening, if you've ever heard of this thing, or maybe you're on the fence, it's definitely worth checking out, because really, at any level, you can jump on this thing and really feel like you have a good grasp of it after a couple of workouts. It was one of the more easier, more user-friendly things that I've ever seen. Hey, there we go.
Yeah, I got it. We got video.
Whoa, video now.
Genius. Yes.
I know. Look at that. The Zoom, it always ends up working out at some point. So we're good on that. But the DDP yoga is incredible, dude.
Oh yeah. It's, I like it because, Diamond Dallas Page is a wrestler. Yes. And, a lot of times those guys get beat up pretty bad and their bodies, start to ail them. And his program has multiple entry levels. So people that are kind of immobile, like I was, he gives you a starting point with a chair, and, he encourages you to make his program your own by using modifications and then showing you the modifications, and he encourages you the whole way. So it's really an excellent program for kind of any level. I mean, when I started it, I was like 470 pounds. So I had already lost like 100 pounds from my heaviest.
Yeah.
And I still wasn't able to move very much, but just doing the little things that I could do a little bit at a time, and using the things that he showed me about breathing, it's helped me immensely. I mean, it'd help anybody.
Definitely. So if I have my math correctly, and I'm terrible at math, that means you would have clocked in at over 500 pounds at one point. Is that your heaviest?
I was 575 pounds.
Wow. Okay. So almost six then.
I was approaching 600. So luckily I didn't make it that far. There's no way I would have lived past that, past 2017 if I wouldn't have just changed right then that year. So like, I'm blessed to have gotten the chance to change.
Certainly. What is an average day like for you at around 575? What's a day look like for Logan?
Oh, that, I was in so much pain all the time. I was miserable.
Yeah.
I couldn't sleep more than 2 hours, because I had terrible obstructive sleep apnea, and my resting oxygen level, I would find out, was like below 70.
Right.
So that was really dangerous. So I could never rest, like laying down enough to actually sleep. So I'd like take a 2 hour maybe nap, and I'd never be rested. So I'd be constantly in pain, and you know, that plays a heavy toll on your mind.
Certainly.
So, just going from, you know, one room to the next was a huge effort on my part. And I was hurting so bad that I didn't want to do it. So, that certainly like led to me not wanting to leave the house ever and having anxiety about that. Because then when you're outside of the house, you don't know if you can sit down. You don't know if you're going to make it from point A to point B. And that's a horrible feeling. And then if you can, you don't know when you get there that there's going to be a place to sit down. And yeah, you have to sit down when you're that big. I couldn't have stayed on my feet for, you know, a couple city blocks. There's no way.
Do you have like these feelings back then where you're just like, well, you know what? Fuck it. I'm 575. Like, what's the point? Like, why should I even try to get going? I feel like sometimes we get so far along that we're just like, you know, well, why even bother? Right. Did you ever feel that, or was it a different kind of story for you?
No, I felt it for sure. That's probably how I got there. I mean, I've been struggling for a long time, and it goes back to like 2013. I was going to have bariatric surgery. I was over 500 pounds back then, and my mobility had just started to get horrible back then. So I wasn't able to move, but I could still move. So I worked with a weight loss specialist, and I was going to get in the bariatric program. And then my insurance at the time told me I wasn't medically needy when I had lost 70 pounds to have the surgery. So what wound up happening was my weight loss specialist then kind of dropped me and left town. And then from there, you know, I was just left to twist it in the wind, not knowing what to do because I didn't have any help and I didn't have any instruction. And I felt like they wanted me to die. I mean, in my estimation, medically needy when you're close to 500 pounds, because I'd worked my way under it to get into the program. They're just betting on you to die. They don't think you're worth saving. And that's how I felt. So, you know, fast forward to 2017 and I was 575 pounds. I had already kind of resigned myself to dying. And I was just doing my best to make myself comfortable and see myself out without burdening anybody.
Yeah. It was almost like they were trying to kick you while you're down, essentially. It's like, well, what, you know, this guy's not worth anything to us. We'll just let him, whatever happens is going to happen.
That it's a cold way to look at it, but I think it's probably accurate. They'd never say that to your face. Of course, that's why they came up with that term medically needy, but
yeah,
I don't see how somebody that probably has an eating disorder. I mean, I've struggled with that my whole life too. It's like I binge eat to kind of medicate myself when I'm depressed, and I've been depressed and I have anxiety.
Yeah.
And that's how I dealt with it. I just ate my feelings all the time. And then all I ever looked forward to, because I was in so much pain, was the next meal. So, and it was eating, like, if I had like three pizzas in front of me, I'd eat three pizzas, you know?
Sure.
I wouldn't stop. So like, if it's not one or two cookies, it's all the cookies with me. It's the same with drinking too. So like, if I had pop or beer or anything, it's not one or two, it's like six.
Yeah.
And that's something else that I had to come to terms with, is that I have that problem, and I avoid it by not having those types of things around me.
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. I'll tell you what, if those people could see you now, they'd be shitting their pants. I'm looking here on your Instagram, 308 pounds down. I mean, man, do you got their phone number? You want to call them and say, hey, look at me now. Look at what I've done. It's incredible, man.
No, I wouldn't rub it in. I mean, they were just doing their job.
Yeah.
Like anybody that made that decision, I wasn't talking to them on the phone personally. I was talking to a customer service representative. Sure. And they don't really have any sort of power in these things. So, what I do want to do is I want to help people that are in my situation that I was in, right, where they think that there's no way they can climb out of the hole they've dug themselves into. And that's where I was at. But I want to show people that they can. And, it's hard. It's definitely hard, but it's doable.
Yeah. No, I agree. And before we kind of get to how you got there, I mean, or how you fixed it rather, what got you to this point? Is it just, you know, just a lot of eating problems and kind of a lack of being active? Like, what is the path to getting to that weight?
It's a lot of things kind of built up to, and it started off, I got divorced in 2010, and that was a huge blow to my, you know, basically to my ego and everything else. I
sure
felt like I was worthless after that. And then the job I was working at, I wasn't taking care of myself, and they didn't have very good insurance. So I've always been a hard worker, believe it or not. And at that job, I would work extremely hard, and I threw my back out, messed up both my knees. And instead of going to the doctor and taking time off, I couldn't. I mean, the insurance was horrible there, and I couldn't afford to. I couldn't take time off because that costs money too. And that's another problem altogether, but I should have, but looking back, but hindsight's always 20/20 in that situation. Anyway, that made me feel like I was replaceable because I couldn't do my job anymore. So I became hurt. I couldn't sleep anymore. I started gaining weight like crazy, and I was turning to food to deal with this, you know, the feeling of worthlessness. And, then I led up to 2012, and my father died. So I didn't deal with that altogether too good, as I didn't get to say goodbye to him in any kind of meaningful way. And it was a sudden loss. And that was pretty soul crushing. But then 6 months later, my best friend that I've known my whole life, he also died. He had a heart complication. And he went to the hospital. I saw him the weekend before. He seemed fine, and he passed away. And I lost two people close in my life in a short amount of time. And then, you know, I was already gaining weight, and I tried to get it under control. I did what I was supposed to do. I went to the doctor at that point when I realized I didn't have control. And, you know, then, like I said, the insurance company told me that I wasn't medically needy for the bariatric surgery that the weight loss specialist told me would save my life. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that equation out. They don't bet that I'm going to live long enough for it to be worthwhile. So that all of those things just were pretty defeating for me. And then the more I hurt, the less I moved. And I've always, you know, like I said, I've always been able to work hard. And when you can't, because your body just doesn't want to, and it hurts too bad, and then you don't know what to do with all that. And I ate it. And then I drank it too. I mean, it's both things were just how I dealt with it. And, you know, looking back, I'm like, obviously I was wrong. And that's why I want to help people now, because I want to get to them before they reach that point that I did, where they were at their lowest. The turning point for me was going to the hospital in January in 2017. I was taken in there. I couldn't breathe and I was dying. So I had to make a decision whether to live or die. And when things are that cut and dry, I mean, I wanted to see my kids grow. I have two kids, and they mean a lot to me. So I couldn't imagine not watching them grow up. So I decided I was going to do everything I could to get my health back on, you know, any way I could. And they did throw the bariatric program at me again. And I was going to do it, but by the time I got to the seminar that I was supposed to do in order to, like, they make you go to a seminar to tell you about the program and all this stuff. By the time that came around, I'd already lost like 100 pounds. So, and I remembered what they did to me before. So I was like, no, I'm just going to do it myself. I don't regret that one bit. I'm glad it turned out.
Yeah, well, when you put it like that, it is very cut and dry. Do you want to live or do you want to die? I mean, at that point, I think the choice is, it should be pretty obvious. And then you go on and lose 100. I mean, that's no easy feat. You know, I've been there, I've gained some of it back, but I mean, there's a lot of people out there, when you gain 100, that's a big deal. I mean, when you lose 50, that's a big deal. And so when you got to that 100-pound mark, that had to be all the signs in the world that you were going in the right direction, and probably lit more of a fire in your ass to go even further. I mean, that's incredible, dude.
Yep, absolutely. But the thing with being nearly 600 pounds is 100 pounds isn't really even that much. So, yeah. Like, you know, people were... When I lost 150 pounds in like 6 months, and that's just from diet and slight exercise. Like, I wasn't doing any crazy exercises at first. I started walking 5 minutes a day with an oxygen mask on.
Yeah,
because my O2 level was that bad. I had to carry around an oxygen mask like an old man in a cane in order to walk. So, you know, I started walking a little tiny bit, and I did stretch band exercises in my armchair. That's all I could do. But like, that just shows you that you can kind of start from anywhere. And as I got stronger, I added more time and more reps. And when I was able to, I got to the pool and I started swimming like a half hour in the deep end. I just tread water. It wasn't complicated.
Yeah.
And again, as I was able to, I just added time. It's that's one of my things. If you keep challenging yourself, you'll be able to build on it. And that's the other half of it, is you got to get your diet in order first, and that's like 80% of it right there. I mean, you start feeding your body good food, like single ingredient foods, and paying attention to what you're putting into it, and then the other 20% is showing up and doing the work every day. So it's not horribly complicated. It's just, there's a lot of products out there that aren't designed with our best interests, and they happen to taste the best.
Yeah. And there's a lot of misinformation out there about, you know, getting started. There's a lot of products that people are peddling on the internet to, you know, it's like a magic pill. It's a magic ticket to the happy life. And all you do is end up broken, upset, most of the time. And so I love what you said there though, about just starting. I mean, you were like, I just started walking for 5 minutes a day. I mean, that is, It's these small things that really can go a longer way. For me, it was also walking. For a lot of people, it's walking. And when people were to ask me, what do I do to get started? Just walk. Well, you know, I'm, you know, my health, I can't really move. I was like, even if you can just walk around your apartment or your house, just little bits, that's more that you're doing more there than you were if you weren't doing it, basically.
That's right. People underestimate that. Just the moving, that part of it. They think they got to go and do a bunch of crazy like beach body workouts, or you don't need to be jumping around and doing jumping jacks and doing crazy things. You just need to move. And that's, once you get your body moving, then it'll be like, okay, I don't need to be storing fat cells. I need to use this for energy. And then, you know, you give your body the right things and all the right things are going to start happening for you.
Yeah. And especially at a larger frame, you know, you try to do these intense workouts and your body's not going to respond very well at all. I mean, for me, it's usually the ankles I have a problem with or the knees. And I know it's just when you, if you try to go too hard, too fast, you're going to burn out very quickly.
Right. Anytime I tell people that are just starting, I tell them they need to go slow and do what they can without becoming injured. Because if they injure themselves, then it's going to set them back further. Like there's some things you can go around. Like if you hurt your arm, your shoulder, you just don't work your arm and shoulder. You go around it. But like if you can't walk, then you become even more limited. And when you're hurt, you know, that messes with your mind, then you might fall back on food. So I like to tell people in all honesty to do things that they could do every day. And if they hate doing these crazy workouts, then they're not going to want to do that every day and it's not sustainable. So they need to do things that they like doing, like activities that they like doing, like, you know, walking. That's simple enough. And if you can enjoy the outside, put your headphones on, that's wonderful. Go do that every day. I like swimming every day for a long time. And right now, like the pools are kind of open, but not really. So I can't go back to the pool yet. But I also like, I have progressed to the point where I found that I like to bike ride. Everything has evolved for me to where I'm now lifting weights kind of heavily. And I can ride my bike. I got both my knees replaced last year. That was another part of it. I mean, I'm skipping around, but
no, you're fine. That was definitely a direction I want to go into, but finish your point.
Yeah. I'm just finding ways to be active that I like. So it's not that I'm going out there and forcing myself to ride an hour every day. I like it. I like riding my bike. I like lifting weights. You don't have to force me to do these things. So
yeah,
like, let's say you like dancing. Let's say you like yoga. I do like yoga. I like watching Diamond Dallas Page, and I have the DVD. I don't have the app, but I like it. He's cheesy, but I get a kick out of him. So like,
yeah,
I enjoy it. And then I like how I feel afterwards. I feel really good. I feel like I'm stretched out, and it's the same when I lift weights and when I do my bike. I mean, I feel good afterwards.
Yeah. So you do the stuff that makes you feel good.
You like, yeah. And you're good. It's, you know, it's not a complicated thing.
Yeah, the swimming thing, that's something I really want to pick up, like as far as like a almost like a workout, because I always, you know, as like when I was a kid, I always loved going swimming, but obviously the pools here are not open, and the gym, I just have a Planet Fitness, so they don't have pools. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, Planet Fitness. But it's always been something I've enjoyed as a kid, and I would love to jump in there and just get, you know, get some laps in.
Yep. Even if you don't swim laps, like if you just tread water, that's a good low impact calorie burn. And that's actually how I got through like all of my weight loss. I did it in the pool. So
that is awesome.
Once I got out, or once I was able to go, I went and I liked it, and I got a waterproof MP3 player so I could play my rock songs, and I could go in there and get lost for an hour, and it was great.
We're definitely going to get into that at some point. I know we have some similar interests in that world. And by the way, for people that are listening, you're like, oh, you know, working out in the pool, or not even just working out, but just, you know, treading water, like you said, how's that going to do anything? I'm like, think back to every time you've gone to the pool. If you've been in there most of the time, don't you like get back to your house and you feel like you're wore out? Yeah. So you did something, like, you know, that, I think some people, they think, oh, it's just a pool. What's it going to do? It's like, wait till you get home. Don't you have that feeling like when you're like tired and wore out, that's because you got a good workout in the pool and you didn't even realize it.
Right. It's because it didn't put a lot of strain on their joints. That's why they're thinking that. But
yeah,
I can tell you that it does work, and there is something to water resistance. And if you need to switch it up, like I was doing exercises in the water that kind of hit every, like my shoulders and my arms, and I was doing all sorts of movements to keep it, you know, keep it from getting monotonous. It's not, and there's actually stuff on YouTube, and you can look things up, other things that you can do other than just treading water. But there's also like water aerobics classes that you can get into, and yeah, there's a lot of things you can do in the pool. And especially if you have like bad ankles or bad knees or hips, that's going to be the best thing for you, because it's not going to put a lot of stress on your joints. And I had to, I mean, like my knees were horrible, and I'd be hurting for days if I went and when we went to the Flying Pig, when I saw you, we visited the zoo. Yeah. And I was 207. Actually, I reached my low weight at 267 at that point. And walking around the zoo was wonderful because I could do it. But my knees hurt so bad that I still had to sit down like all the time. So, and then the next day I was hurting for like the whole day, and then the next day. So, yeah, if you got the knee problems, then the pool's the way to go.
Yeah, definitely. Now, what was the story on the knees? Was that just a weight related thing, or did you have some previous injuries with the knees?
I had my ACL torn and repaired when I was in high school. And then all the jobs I had my whole life were physical up until like the last one I had, which was at GoDaddy, where I was a customer service rep. But I just, all my legs got beat on pretty constantly. And then being nearly 600 pounds, I mean, every time you walk, it's like doing a, you know, 400 pound squat.
Yeah.
So it put a humongous amount of pressure on my knees, and they wound up just being bent all the time. I couldn't straighten them and I couldn't bend them all the way. They were just bent at like a 45 degree angle, and I couldn't do anything with it. There was bone spurs in there. When I looked at the x-rays they took, I couldn't, you know, I don't know anything about anatomy or anything like that as far as that's concerned, but they pointed all these things out that weren't supposed to be there. And then they're like, this is where you're supposed to have a gap. You don't have any. And I was like, oh. And then they showed me the bone spurs, and I was like, oh, that's why anytime I try to move my knee, it just feels like it's locked, because that bone spur was in the way. So I got injections for about a year, and that helped a little bit, but I got to the point where I wasn't going to be able to go any further unless I had my knees replaced. And that's why we did it.
Was that cortisone shots that they gave you?
Yep.
Yeah. I've
straight,
had those
big, huge needle straight to the knee.
Oh yeah.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. I was getting them in both. It was, it went from like every 6 months I started, then it went down to three, then to two, then to one. Then they're like, all right, these are not working.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, yeah, it's time to move on with this. But,
well,
the knee replacement was every bit as painful as they said it was going to be.
Yeah.
And I had both of them done, not at the same time. So they said some people chicken out on the second one after they have the first one done because it hurts so bad. And yeah. I was like, nope, I'm doing this. And it did hurt. It was painful. But now that I can walk and I can straighten my legs and I can do other things like ride my bike, that's kind of crazy to me. Like, I didn't think I was going to be able to do this kind of stuff, and now I'm doing it. I'm happy to keep moving.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that, man. I have bone spurs in both of my knees. It hasn't gotten too far accelerated yet, but I can tell that probably we're going to get there in the next couple of years. I can see it coming.
Yeah, when they offer it, if you're able to, I would get it done. It's life changing. So it's, I had to pay a bunch of bills on it, and I'm still paying, but the amount of extra things that I can do now and not be in pain, it's been worth it. And everybody that I talk to that's had it done, if they don't have complications, which sometimes those arise, and sometimes those are due to people not listening to their physical therapists and doing what they're supposed to do. It's still totally worth it. I mean, it's another shot to keep moving.
Definitely. Definitely. It's something that, if it came my way, I'm probably going to jump on. I mean, I was going to do the pig this year and it ended up getting postponed, but I had to back out. I had to email the people and say, hey, look, I can't jog this thing. My knees won't deal with it at all. And they offered me, did I want to defer to next year or did I want to do like the virtual? And I opted for the virtual because I'm like, at least I'm going to walk this thing. Like walking seems like it's okay. It's the jogging and the running is where, at least for me, my biggest issues are.
Right. Why? There's nothing wrong with walking. I mean, that's where I'm at right now. I'm probably not going to run again. And they told me that right after surgery and it kind of bummed me out, but being able to walk is huge. And if you can walk the 5K, then walk the 5K. You're still doing it. It's not, it's more of a personal accomplishment. Unless you're really trying to get first place, I guess.
No. And yeah. I signed up for both the 5 and the 10. I got dared by Caitlin, Elise's husband, Jesse. He was like, hey, why not do both? I think he had a few beers that night and he was busting balls in a DM and said, hey, sign up for both. And so I did. So my plan is I'm actually going to go out one morning and I'm just going to do both, but I'm going to take my time, go very, very slow. And just knock them both out. I mean, I was at the beach this past week and I did 12 miles over the course of a day and my knees felt okay there. But of course I wasn't running. I was just slowly walking. So I think, just the walking, it will be fine.
Well, it still counts. You did great. That's wonderful to hear that you get, if you can still walk and it's not killing you, then walk. That's wonderful.
Definitely, man. Definitely. So you, 300 freaking pounds, man. I can't get over that. I was looking here again because I wanted to make sure I had the number correctly. 308 pounds, dude. That's incredible.
Yep. That's from my highest weight to my lowest. And, my lowest, I did a 90 day quest, like transformation challenge just to try to hit a lower weight.
Right.
Cause I'd already reached 275 pounds back in 2018. And then I started lifting weights because I was like, all right, I'm my high school weight. This is what I wanted to do. And I didn't, I never thought I was going to be able to do that, but I did it in like a year and a half. So after that, it's just been kind of maintaining and building my physique and seeing what I can do. And I hooked up with my trainer, Joe, and we're like, all right, let's give this quest thing, 90 day transformation a run for our money. And I finished top 10 in that. I think I went from around 300 when I started, because I was, I was training and trying to build muscle at that point. And then I cut down to 267, which was my new low by the end of the 90 days. And I did well, even though I couldn't use my legs very much. So imagine what I could have done if I could have used my legs.
Yeah. I mean, God, you look like you're ready to jump in the ring, man.
I'm not going to be jumping anywhere, but yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah, the work in the weights is a big thing. I'm currently talking with a doctor now about, I've got some rheumatoid arthritis right in my wrist, and I'm trying to work my way around that. And once I talk with him, I'm going to see what my options are, because, you know, the weightlifting, I understand how important it is, but I've always been terrified of it because of the arthritis, and, you know, my wrist just flares up in all sorts of pain. The weights are very important. I think a lot of times people, they cling to the cardio because it's quick results now, but the weights are huge as from a workout perspective.
Oh, absolutely. And, you can actually get your heart rate up pretty high just by lifting intensively. I mean, usually when I'm on my own, I do supersets and I don't take a lot of rest in between, and I have a Fitbit now, but then I can actively watch my heart rate. And, you know, if it starts to get too low, I start another set. And, if you keep moving in the gym and stay off your phone, then you can keep your heart rate jacked up. And it still kind of counts as cardio. I mean, it's all on you when you're at the gym. So that's, I do good on my own.
Yeah. Sometimes you're waiting to get on a machine and there's somebody that's just, they're kind of lost, and they're deep into a Facebook or an Instagram or something.
Yeah. You got to have a backup plan for that. I skip to the next, exercise if that's the case.
Yeah.
And then I'll backtrack. I mean, it all adds up. I mean, it's all about reps in the gym and, getting a quality pump, you know?
Definitely. And the bike thing too, you mentioned that earlier. That's something else that is, it's a lot of fun. I haven't done it in years, but, you know, I've gone on like the bike at the gym, which is very different, but, it's still a lot of fun because I feel like it doesn't hurt my knees nearly as much as if I was, you know, doing something else with them. So.
Yep. Like the recumbent bike, is pretty easy on your knees. But like the bikes at the gym are a tad boring, just like a treadmill. But, what you can do is you can throw on your Gary Cantrell podcast and listen to that, or, you know, just do whatever you can to keep your mind occupied while you're, you know, pedaling. There's ways around it now. I mean, especially now, I mean, I just listen to music the whole time. I love that. I love getting away and listening to that. But, I like riding on the road, and I hadn't ridden a bike since I was 18. And I picked one up a couple months ago, just because I was like, well, I'm not going to be able to go to the gym, so I need some options. And I got right on that thing and I rode like 7 miles immediately. So, you know, that the whole phrase, like riding a bike, it's actually kind of true. I mean, I didn't have any problems. I got right on it and went, but now because of my age, I was like, oh, I was going pretty fast down the hill. Maybe I'll need a helmet.
Yeah.
So I got a helmet and, we're all set now.
You haven't had any big spills on that thing yet, have you?
No. I'm pretty careful. I mean, when I was a kid, I could have crashed down a mountain and I would have got back up and just brushed it off. But like,
yeah,
now I'm like, oh, if I see a curb, I'm not jumping that curb.
No way. No like, way.
I'll find a way around it. Nope.
Yeah. I had a bad accident now, so. One time where, I don't remember how old I was. I had to have been 8 or 9, and, in my mother's neighborhood, they had this basketball court, and on the four corners of the court, they had these mulch, like it almost looked like ramps, but they were just like mulch piles. I think they were planning to put some trees in there or whatever. And so they, God, this guy's revving his engine downstairs. Good Lord. And so I come down a hill and I jump over this thing, and the bike falls from underneath of me, and I smack the ground. And that was pretty brutal. That was probably the nastiest crash I ever had on a bike. And, shortly thereafter, they finally put trees on there so kids would stop trying to jump it.
Oh. Yeah, it's pretty wild where our minds would go when we were kids. I mean, we did the same thing in the woods way back. There was a bunch of trees that fell over, and we'd like snowboard and make ramps off of these things. And just thinking about all the times that I fell and all the stuff that I ran into now, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe we lived through that. Yeah. We just kind of bounced off the trees and, we just got back up and dusted ourselves off. So yeah, it was nice being that durable, but I don't think I can withstand that kind of punishment anymore.
No way. Are you kidding me? I go out with the dog, walking the dog, and once in a while I kind of give him a look, and you know, if I give him the right look and I act like I'm going to jump, he'll run really fast and I'll try to run and chase after him. And even running for 30 seconds, I've had that word sideline me for 3 weeks, you know, with the knees or the ankles. And I'm just like, oh, why did you do that, Gary? Why?
Yeah, that's the hindsight again, man. It's like, oh, man, shouldn't have done that.
I know. You learn.
The learning experience.
What's on your playlist when you're riding that bike?
Oh, I've got a pretty diverse playlist, but I like Judas Priest and Iron Maiden. So I also like Iron Maiden covers. So there's some like Avenged Sevenfold and Machine Head, and I've got some punk on there, Mr. T Experience and like Green Day. I like Sponge, like if you remember them.
Yes.
They did Cloud. That was their big song. And
that was a jam. When you heard that intro, you knew it was going. It was going down.
Yeah, it was on. Yeah. The Ramones, and I got Megadeth, and I've got a lot on there. Like I also like, I got this cover by Dan Vask. I don't even know who he is, but like I got obsessed with this song, Toss a Coin to the Witcher. He does that. That's on there. And then I've got a bunch of anime soundtrack stuff, like from One Punch Man and Evangelion and all this totally nerdy stuff just mixed in between. Then there's like James Brown and like have you ever seen the Last Dragon? Like Barry Gordy is the Last Dragon.
Oh, I don't think I have.
That might be the only one that knows about that. it's got a pretty great soundtrack. So I've got two songs from that. Then I've got You're the Best Around from The Karate Kid.
Yes. And,
yeah.
Cobra Kai, have you seen it?
Oh, no, I haven't watched it all the way yet. So I've been meaning to.
How far did you get?
But I just watched the first episode because it was free, and I was like, oh, this is really cool.
Oh, my God.
Like, I don't want to pay for it.
Well, no, I got it. Do you have Netflix by a chance?
Oh, yeah.
They just announced that they're moving. Yeah, they're moving to Netflix, so you'll be covered. But I got to tell you, it is so good, man. Like, here's the thing about Cobra Kai. For anybody that's listening, maybe you're like, I don't know what that is, like, or you knew what it is, but you're like, I don't know. Here's the thing. A lot of times when they reboot something or they remake something, it usually doesn't end up very well. This is like the one exception where they took something that you didn't even know you wanted, and they knocked that ball so hard out of the park. Like, you were just like, damn, where did that ball go? It just disappeared. That's how hard they knocked it out of the park. When you get to the end of season one, dude, you send me a DM and tell me if you didn't lose your shit. Because I know I woke my wife up at midnight cheering, or not necessarily cheering, but just like screaming up and down at the cliffhanger at the end of season one. It's unbelievable.
Oh, that's cool. I can't wait to check that out. Yeah, I watched a YouTube video actually where they went through the Karate Kid and they explained how the Ralph Macchio character, Daniel, was actually the bad guy.
Yes.
So I was like, oh my God. And then like the first episode of Cobra Kai, that's kind of already the way it was going, is that you follow Johnny instead of, you know, Daniel. And I think the series is based around him, right?
They end up intertwining around everybody.
The series you didn't know you wanted, those are the best kind. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Well, I read an interview with the creators back when this thing first launched, and they were like, you know, we look at Karate Kid like it's our Star Wars. Like, to us, it's that important. And they actually went to Sony, who owned the rights to the movie, and they dug up out of a salt mine, like the original negatives of the first film, and was like finding alternate angles and stuff like that. And they actually used some of that footage, which you saw in the first episode. I mean, they were treating it like it's a huge, huge deal.
That's how it should be treated. I mean, I'm not in favor of like the remakes, but like I like when they will reboot or they add on to something that's already been established. So that's awesome, and I can't wait. I'm excited that Netflix picked it up because I have Netflix.
Yeah. I think to your point there, it's like, you know, whenever they add on to something, like I like that idea that we can revisit a character 30 plus years later. It's like, okay, where did they end up? What are they doing? It's that one thing when you find a movie that you're in love with and you watch it 100 times over and over again, by the time it's over, whether it had a happy ending or not, you're like, oh, I wonder whatever, like if this was real, whatever happened to that person, what are they up to? And so if they do they start rebooting the series or movie, it's like, okay, well now I can find out. Still with me?
Yeah, I cut out for a second, but I just heard you right there.
No worries. So we got the Cobra Kai, we got the music, wrestling. That's another one of your interests.
Oh yeah. I like. I don't watch it anymore, but I used to watch every single WrestleMania for like a long time. And I loved like the old 80s wrestlers like Hulk Hogan and Hacksaw Jim Duggan and the Road Warriors. I did not like the Ultimate Warrior. He was a butthole. But
check this out.
Ric Flair. Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I just found this on eBay.
I used to have a couple of the little tiny like 8-inch figures. So Hulk Hogan was my hero growing up, basically. And same. I loved Andre the Giant. Like I always understood that he was only playing the heel, and like that's a wrestling term. It's just heel means bad guy.
Yeah.
It's not really that any of these guys are bad. It's just that they're supposed to act like that. So like the Iron Sheik is actually really kind of awesome.
He really is.
People hated him because of how he acted. I mean, like, I love it. It's fantasy. It's great. But it's also like you have to be a hell of an athlete to do what they do. And I think that's admirable.
Got the Sheik right here.
Oh, nice.
I met him one time. Did you watch it? Nice guy.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. He seems like a character. I watched a documentary on him, and it's kind of sad some of the stuff that happened to him. But I hope he still just keeps kicking. Like I never want him to go.
I know. He's so entertaining. He was on. I remember I hadn't heard about him in years, and then in 2007 he did an interview on Howard Stern, and he was just in rare form. Man, he was just like F this guy, F that guy, blah 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 blah. It was so hilarious.
Yeah, he's going to suplex him and make him humble.
Back when I was a drinker, I used to take a drinking game to his old shoot videos. Every time he said F this or F that, I had to take a shot. I was about dead at one point.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just like that era. I mean, like the 80s were pretty great. I always like Dusty Rhodes too, because Dusty Rhodes is a great talker. He didn't have a body, you know, which was weird.
Yeah,
but he had like charisma. So I like Dusty Rhodes a lot.
Yeah, the American Dream, baby.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I remember all that, and I like actually, I have Triple H's theme song, The Game, on my playlist too. Come to think of it,
that's a good choice.
I liked
man.
It that much, and I like Motorhead a lot. Like Lemmy Kilmister is a pretty polarizing figure.
Yeah, I always liked that song. It used to get me fired up. I'd put on anything like that, or Metallica was a big one for me that I put that on, and that would just get me fired up and ready to go.
Yeah, I can only listen to like up to maybe Justice and some of Black, and then I start to cringe a little bit, and I'm like, but yeah, I don't know. Fuel, what was it? Load, I thought was okay, and then Reload was like, really iffy, and then St. Anger was.
Well,
I use St. Anger as a coaster along with Risk by Megadeth because they were like the worst albums I ever bought. I was like, oh, how could you guys do this to me?
Well, there was that trash can snare drum that, or what it sounded like a trash can, and it ruined the whole thing. I mean, I like some of the heavier aspect of it, but that damn snare drum just absolutely killed me.
I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking. It just sounded horrible.
Yeah, there's a couple songs on Reload that I'll do, like Memory Remains, Fuel, even Unforgiven 2. Fight me in the comments, by the way. But, you know, it's funny because I remember reading about it, and it was like they were recorded at the same time, and it seems like they put all the great stuff on Load, and then they're like, okay, well, this is what's left over, so we're just going to put this on Reload, and it is what it is.
Oh, yeah, it could have been a double CD, but they're like, no. We're just going to make it a bastard child and release it afterwards. Or maybe they were thinking, no, we're not going to release these. And they're like, these are okay. We should totally release them. But I have no idea. I don't know. It seems like some bands just make mistakes, but the great ones always come back. And I think Metallica did. I mean, they surprised me with Death Magnetic. That was really good. So
and even Hardwired, I mean, I was like, man, this is really like a return to form for them. The only problem with Death Magnetic was the levels on it. It was clipping in the audio, and you could hear it clip when you listen back to it. But then they did that Guitar Hero Metallica that had the entire album on it, and the mix sounded great. So like people were like going on YouTube and putting the Guitar Hero mix of Death Magnetic and putting it side by side with the original. It's like, listen to how much better this sounds. It's crazy.
Oh yeah, it's there's a reason why they're considered one of the greatest rock bands in the world. They keep reinventing themselves, and maybe if Lars wasn't such a butthole all the time, they could keep making great music.
Yeah. I hope for them. I don't know what's next for them. I don't know if they'll do another one or they'll hang it up, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I don't know. I've got tons of other stuff to listen to, so it's and I still fall back on a lot of their old stuff, and like I always look back on how Mustaine was a part of the original, and I like, even though it was a terrible thing for Mustaine personally, probably it was good for me that he got booted out of Metallica because they made Megadeth, which is one of my favorite bands. So, and in terms of thrash, I think Megadeth really can't be beat. Except for Risk. That was a turd.
what year did they put that out? Risk?
Late 90s, 2000, maybe somewhere around there. It was around that time when they wanted to maybe cut like solos, and like that's Mustaine's thing. He doesn't need to cut solos. And what was that song? It was Crush 'Em. Like Crush 'Em is the one they played on the radio. And I think they were trying to market it as like a stadium song, like Blitzkrieg Bop. But it was just terrible. So yeah, he needs to stick with what he knows. And that's, you know, thrash metal and doing great guitar licks and bringing great musicians together. That's what he does. It's like, that's what he should stick to. And I like watching bands do their live performances. And there was a DVD, I think it was Live in Buenos Aires by Megadeth. And that was great because the crowd not only sang the lyrics, they hummed like the guitar parts. And that's crazy to listen to that. That's awesome.
Yeah. I did see one time, I think it was like a 30-year anniversary of Metallica where they brought back Mustaine and he played like some songs with him. I thought that was really kind of cool to see too.
Oh yeah. I think they did like a Big Four tour and Megadeth was part of that. And like at the end they brought everybody up, and, but yeah, there was also stuff where they brought just Dave up there so he could play their old music with him. I think things turned out for the better the way, you know, where you get kicked out.
Yeah. It's, you know, you get two good bands instead of just one good band. So it's a win-win. They may not have thought so at the time, but, as we said before, hindsight, man, and you know, it turned out for the better.
Yep. It turned out great for me.
Definitely. Definitely. Before we kind of wrap things up here, you know, again, I mean, you've done some incredible things. You've lost an incredible amount of weight. Let's play hypothetical. There's somebody listening right now who is just getting ready to get started. And maybe they've been seeing a lot of this misinformation on the internet. What's somebody like you going to tell them if they're saying, "Hey, Logan, like, what should I do, man? Like, how should I get myself together here and try to get started on some sort of a journey?" What's your advice to them?
I would sit down and tell them that any changes they need to make food wise or exercise wise, even are things that they should be able to repeat every day, like doing a crash diet or trying something where you're like starving yourself over a period of 3 months. You might lose some weight if you can stick to it. But once you stop doing that, you're just going to gain it back. So it doesn't do you any good. You need to learn how to live with the choices that you make and go away from processed foods and get away from like these ingredient lists that never stop. Like if you are reading your ingredient list and it takes you longer than 3 seconds, probably not good for you. Unless it's like a bunch of single ingredients within the ingredient list, then that's a different story. But like if it's a bunch of chemical sounding things, it probably shouldn't be in your diet. And our reliance on sugar to make us feel a certain way and like using food as a crutch, I'd go through all of that. And, you know, you got to figure out what behaviors are going to help you in the long run. And it's a lot at first to talk about. So when I made my changes, I mean, I knew it was a lot, but I also knew that I was going to have to do it forever. Like I can't go back. I'll die. That's the way I feel. And it might not be immediately, but like, I know how it works now because I've been through it. So every change that you make, you have to be able to repeat. And that goes along with your exercise too. Like you stop moving, you're going to cause your body harm because your body will get used to it and your muscles will atrophy and then, you know, your joints will cease to be able to move. And you're just going to cause yourself harm by doing that. So you got to find ways to keep moving and be happy about it. But the all important first step is deciding in your heart that you're going to change and sticking with it. You got to be honest with yourself. And that's a humongous step forward. Is if you decide in your mind that you're going to do this and you're going to change and you're going to be better, that's the first step you got to make. And I want them to know that it's possible. And I would be encouraging of them to, you know, to go ahead and make that change, take that first step. As there was a lot of days where I was like, I'll change tomorrow. You know, I did that until tomorrow almost didn't come. It almost killed me. They don't need to wait that long. Like if they're miserable right now, today's a good day. So you don't need to wait till tomorrow. You can start today.
Amen, man. Amen. I can't agree more. Just start. You know, you think like I need this or I need that. It's just like, just start, you know, just start simplifying the whole thing. Don't overthink it. Like, Jordan Syatt on Instagram always says, you cannot fuck this up. Like, you know, meaning that, you know, you can't, it's impossible to make a mistake that's going to throw you off forever. Like you just got to get started. You just got to get going and little by little you figure it out. It's just like you said, you know, you get going and then as you were going, you started adding reps and you started adding on as you got more comfortable and it's the best way to go, man.
Yep, absolutely. It's just building your habits and making sure that they're good for your life. And then you got to keep those and anything that's bad for you, then you got to cut those out. You don't want to keep feeding into something that'll hurt you.
Yeah, that's very true. Before we wrap it up here, Instagram, people want to get a hold of you. What is the best way to do that?
Oh, I go by Wizdreamer. So it's Wizdreamer.
Where does that name come from?
Okay. So when I was heavier, like my only friends were on Xbox and my Xbox name is Wiz Mayhem. Just because it sounds kind of intimidating. And I was like, also, I'm a bit of a wizard in my own mind. But anyway, when I first made my Instagram account, like my friend talked me into it because she said it was good for like accountability. And it has been for me. I mean, it's been great for me. I've met a lot of nice people on there and they've been very supportive. And, you know, everything's kind of pushing into my next chapter where I think I'm going to wind up coaching. I actually get enrolled in the NASM personal training. And that's like the next step for me. I think I'm going to try to be a personal trainer. I'm not going to try. I'm going to do it like Yoda said, but, yeah, I don't know. That's the next step for me. And like the dreamer part is that I dared to dream that I was going to be, I was going to hit my goal weight. Like when I first started, you know, I'm nearly 600 pounds and I want to get down to my high school weight, 275 pounds. That's 300. I was like, that is a ridiculous amount of weight to lose. And I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it. So that was my dream, right? To have a life that I could live. And that's kind of the origin of that. I mean, it's just half of my Xbox name and then the fact that I was dreaming about being a better person.
And now you want to do coaching. I mean, that's incredible, man. That's huge. It's just like you said, you want to help people. There's no better way to do it than actually to coach and get them in a program and show them the right way, you know, going about it the right way, not this crash diets like we talked about, not this instant gratification, quick, now, just slow and steady, building on habits that you can actually follow up on. I mean, I think that's incredible.
Right. That's like one of the things I think Daryl says sometimes is if it's not sustainable, the weight you lose will not be sustainable either. So that's that's true. You have to do things that you can repeat and then the weight will stay off.
100%. Final thing, you talked about wanting to be a coach. What are some, you have any other big goals that you're looking to do here in the next couple of years? What else are you working on?
Oh, I mean, that was a pretty big step forward. I just came to that realization not too long ago. So, but I, like, life goal wise, I haven't seen an ocean yet and I kind of want to go do that. So like, I want to do that by the end of the year if I can. I don't know about what my limitations on the, you know, coronavirus are going to be, but I would love to make it to one of the coasts and see an ocean, finally. I mean, I'm in Iowa, the very center of the country. I have seen a great, you know, one of the Great Lakes. I've seen Lake Michigan, and that was enormous and crazy that you can't see across it. Like, it's mind-boggling, but an ocean must just be that much bigger, so...
Do you have a preference of which ocean you go and see?
Nope. I don't even care. I just want to see it and say that I've been there. And I want to point out and be like, yep, there might be sharks in there. So yeah, I've always had a fascination with it and it just seems like a realistic goal that I can have and do. I mean, it's something I can look forward to. You know, especially I think by that time I hopefully will have my training under my belt and I'll be moving forward anyway. So, you know, maybe I'll set up a trip at the end of the year, maybe before then. I don't know. We haven't got that far yet, but short-term goals, you know.
Of course. Well, I will tell you, California is pretty hard to beat. San Diego, I used to live there when I was a kid. I don't have a ton of memories from it, but I do remember the weather being spectacular. So that's one thing to consider. And of course, if you were talking East Coast, I'm partial to Charleston, South Carolina. It is my future home, and they have a beautiful beaches there. You have Isle of Palms, Folly Beach. It's just beautiful down there. And, of course, Florida, that's also very hard to beat as well because you have both sides of the coast. You have the East Coast, more like your Jacksonville, Daytona, Miami, stuff like that. And then on the West Coast, you've got Tampa, St. Pete, and Sarasota and all that. So you've got a lot of choices to make here.
Oh, choices are great. I mean,
yeah, it's good to have them.
Yep. Now, well, I 3 years ago, I couldn't be thinking about any of this. There's no way that I could do it. And now that I can, I want to go live and I want to live well. So along the way, I'm going to help as many people as I can. And, you know, I'm going to give this coaching a go and we're going to go from there.
Amen, brother. Well, I wish you all the best with it. Wiz Dreamer on Instagram is how you can reach Logan. Dude, I appreciate the time, man. And once you get that coaching stuff going, man, come on back on and give us an update. Tell us all about it.
Oh, that sounds good. Thanks for having me, Gary.
All right. Thanks again, Logan, coming on the podcast. So awesome to hear his story. If you have a story that you want to share right here on the Gary Cantrell podcast, we are open for business, as they say. Send me a DM on Instagram at Gary Cantrell if you want to come on the show and share your story. I would love to hear from you. And with that being said, that's going to do it for me for this week. That's all the time that we have. I want to say thank you so much to everybody who has checked out the show. I really appreciate your support. And I'll talk to you again next time. See ya.